Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about seven things you can do to reduce some of the challenges of dyslexia. Some of them will seem pretty simple, others you might just not have thought of, and hopefully at least one or two you're willing to give a try to, and hopefully it actually changes the way you feel about yourself and helps you get up on those days where it's just a little bit tough. So let's dive into it. Okay, so let's dive into this episode. Now, just before I start, I just wanted to mention on Thursday or in 2 days' time, if you're listening to this as they are released, we've got a fantastic interview with Dr. Nick Cummins from the Royal London College, is the phrase I want to use from memory. Now, he was absolutely awesome. It's a great interview. It's not too long, but it really talks to people getting diagnosed later in life, especially in academia. So he's a doctor, you know, imagine to find out later on you've got it and gone, wow, that would have been nice to know 20 years ago, like so many of us adults. It's a great one if you want to pass it on to someone who thinks they might or might not have dyslexia. And we'll also be releasing it on the YouTube channel, which will be in the notes. So it is definitely worth having a watch. Now, in today's episode, I wanted to talk about seven practical things you can do to kind of pick yourself up. Now, with dyslexia, I really believe we have massive emotional spike days where sometimes we're on top of the moon, potentially too high, and sometimes it feels like we're, you know, 14 feet underground, can't move, it's hard, it's frustrating, we're overwhelmed is probably the feeling I would say. It just, everything feels too overwhelming. Now, personally, when I get to that, I sometimes get to a point where I'm so overwhelmed I get relaxed, where I just kind of actually go into a massively cool state. I'm not sure you've ever experienced that, where there's just so much on. All you can do is smile and just kind of relax into it. And I actually fall into a really cool flow state, which is really neat. I haven't quite worked out how, but for whatever reason, it's kind of like my mind gets so overloaded. It just decides, well, nothing really matters. Let's just enjoy the flow, because of that, you know, things get easier, right? But I want to talk about seven things I'm really aware of with my dyslexia that affect it in a positive and negative way. Now, the first one, and why I even thought about this, was in the last 3 days, I haven't been sleeping very well. I've gone into this real enjoyment mode around my game that I like, and because we've got a little one running around, I try and get up early in the morning to play it, or I play it a bit later at night. So I've kind of been getting up at like 5 a.m. to play this video game, you know, when you get really into something. And I've been going to sleep, but not too late, but maybe 10:30. But by the time I actually fall asleep, it's like 11:30, give or take. So I'm not really getting enough sleep. Now, I can operate without sleep to a level. And I believe I'm much better at operating at lower sleep than I truly am. Other people would disagree. They would say, hey, you're just not quite there, 100%. And so I'm very conscious. Like last night, I fell asleep at like 9 o'clock, didn't get up till 8:30 in the morning. And I had a great 11 and a half hours. And I feel so much better today. I just feel so much more in mental control. So don't ever forget how important sleep is. And if you do go into that high stimulation mode where you're staying up really late and for whatever reason you're waking up early, if you do that for a few nights in a row, just be conscious you have to break the cycle. However hard it is, just get into bed, close your eyes. Even if it takes you a while to sleep, just do it. I usually pop some magnesium or melatonin to help me get off to sleep a bit quicker, which is always good. The second is food. One of the challenges with dyslexia and ADHD, if you've got a little bit of both, which many people do have, is that we can forget to eat and then we can overeat. So there are different times, like I've watched people who just don't eat, they're skinny as a rake, they just forget, or even when they're eating, their brain goes off in 12 different ways and they don't even finish their dinner. And they stay very thin that way. It can be an ADHD technique. It can also lead to negative things, so be very conscious of it. Or like myself, I'm much more the person who doesn't eat for 14 hours and engorges because I haven't been paying much attention consciously to what I'm eating. So I'm changing that at the moment, and I've definitely noticed my mood improve as I get better at it. but I'm very aware it's taking a while. It's definitely not perfect. It's definitely a progress thing, as I talked about the other day. So it's food. Be very aware of this will affect the way your head works. 3, meditation and, you know, just taking a breath. What I find is when I go through a period where I forget to meditate or I lower it so low on my priority list, I just don't do it, I find negative effects. Meditation to me is that moment where there's nothing else around me in the world and I get 20, 30, 40 minutes sometimes where I can just take a break with myself and my mind. My mind is so active. It's so visual. There's so much stuff happening when I take away the external world and start to train it to focus where I want it to focus. I definitely have better days because I'm kind of giving it a bit of direction. I'm training it to remind myself that I'm in charge, not my mind. And it definitely helps with my mental perspective. And it brings us on to 4. What I would say is perspective is a very important thing for those with dyslexia. You know, if you're having a bad period of time and you feel like everything's against you and you know, stuff is just so overwhelming, it usually means we're thinking very small. And I find myself do this. I fall into it. And until I get that conscious perspective back, I struggle. So I sometimes will overthink something that really doesn't matter. So for example, I try and be good about throwing away recycling, but sometimes I become pedantic over something that is really doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of life, there's 8 billion people on the earth. The decision around one small piece of plastic, you know, it's not going to change the world, right? If I'm 94% correct or 90% or 80%, doesn't really matter the percentage, correct on what I'm doing because I'm doing on do it purposefully, but I stuff up 10% of the time, it doesn't matter. But in the moment, it can feel really overwhelming. And, you know, that's just a singular challenge. If that backs up because I'm tired or I'm not in the right zone, my perspective can be really limited. And it's the same with in relationships. Like my communication goes out the window if my perspective is too small. It's kind of like I'm looking so closely at something, I can't step back. So my blinkers are on. So what I've had to teach myself is to take a step back. What does this thing happening right now look like in the perspective of a week, perspective of a year? What if I zoom out to the stars and look down at it? Changing that perspective has been such a game changer with my dyslexia because it's probably the biggest change. You know, the more I'm conscious of it, the more I don't have fights, the more when I do have a fight, I can see it and walk away from it, which is really powerful. 5, again, this works with perspective, is finding time to be in the moment. You know, some call this the flow zone, some call this a bunch of different names, but it's making sure I find some time to be consciously in flow. So something I really want to do, maybe it's a video game, maybe it's something else, maybe it's this podcast, I'm in flow when I'm doing it. I'm not reading cue cards. I'm talking from an internal perspective, and it's really valuable going forward. I'm not just doing things that take a lot of energy out of my mind, which is stuff that the dyslexic mind doesn't like a lot of order and repetition. I'm doing something that puts me in the moment. It's also for me football, or sometimes it can be going to the movies. There's a bunch of different things. 6, purpose and why. So for dyslexia, like if I wake up and, you know, and for the dyslexic ADHD, the right brain mind, if I don't have a purpose and a why for the day, for the month, for the year, I sometimes, if I'm in a, you know, let's say a bad place, a bad mood, I just don't care, right? If I can't remember why I'm doing everything, then what's the bigger picture? Even if I don't know how to get there exactly, if I don't have a bigger picture, I'll promise you, you will struggle, you know. Dyslexics need to know why something is happening. It is absolutely vital. Telling someone to do something without a why literally throws in you can't tell me what to do mode most of the time, or subservient, I'll just do it, but I don't care about it. I hate my life. It's just feeling shabby, right? So you knowing the purpose and the why. So I'm really clear what we teach in the Confident Dyslexic is how to build that purpose and why in the future and how to make it actually work for your life. It takes a bit to get there, but once you're there, it is really powerful. But I definitely know that whatever happens in the day, I can come back to where I'm going, and it is calming, right? Again, it changes the perspective, which is super valuable. Now, number seven is really getting a again, it's probably perspective as well in a different format, but it's really looking at time. You know, we are not good timekeepers. Some of us get places really early because we're really scared of being late. Some of us are really late because we go off on tangents. I just watched Holly's daughter this morning. They're going to a movie to give me some time to do this and some work. Very kind of them. Love them dearly. And, you know, watching her as a child, you know, not have a concept of time, you know, that movie starts at this time, it doesn't wait for you. And her want to do a dress pageant show and then she wanted to get her umbrella and then she had to bring some toys and then she had to, you know what I mean, do 28 different things at once. You could just see the perspective of time being a challenge. And this can be a real challenging thing for dyslexics is, you know, when everything is getting on top of us and we start to rush and we start to get frustrated, it can be really tiring. So it's important to have a perspective on time as a bit of a ruler. You know, there's some great work through the Davis Dyslexia Found, you know, I want to call them a foundation, but Davis Dyslexia. They do a lot around time and some of these concepts because it's really challenging for us to get time. We're not lineal animals and they can be really challenging. So what I try and do in those moments is just take a deep breath and slow down. Say, what could I push to tomorrow if I'm getting overwhelmed with time? Because I know that can be a factor. And then if you start to merge some of these things I've talked to about together and not have them in, under kind of your thumb or in, under your awareness, you know, it can be quite catastrophic. You can have real days which just feel lost. So those are the seven I really wanted to talk about. Hopefully that shines a bit of a light on some of them. You know, if I was to pick the ones to take some time with, perspective is huge and purpose and why. You can get those two things in line. Those have made a massive help. And then also don't forget the easy ones. Sometimes we're always looking for this next big shiny winner of how do you solve my dyslexic challenges or how do you deal with some of these problems? And we forget to sleep or eat, you know, and like, so we're kind of setting us up to fail no matter who we are or what we do. That's what I want to share, guys. Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. Remember, there's a great episode coming out on Thursday or Wednesday in some parts of the world. Have an epic rest of your day.